Good to be with you all this morning. Good to see you all. Today we're going to continue in part three of our series of Growing Closer to God. And today's title is Getting Closer to God, Growing Closer to God Through Prayer. So I was reading a story about a priest up in Saskatchewan, Father Zajac of Carrot River. And the story caught my eye enough that I thought it would be an interesting illustration to start the message this morning. It said that Father Zajac had been fishing for hours on Tobin Lake. True story, by the way. Tobin Lake, north of Saskatchewan, where he lives. And he had been there for hours with no success. Before packing it in for the day, calling it a day, he said that he decided to jig a little bit more while reciting a prayer. After the prayer, it said that he caught a world record walleye, 18.8 pounds, January 4th. He caught this giant walleye. So fellow fishermen, started calling him Father Walleye instead. And it said in the story that people have flocked to Tobin Lake to fish, and a local business has improved. And since that time, Father Zajac has been inundated with prayer requests. As a matter of fact, a lot of his parishioners have brought their fishing lures to his church on Sunday to have them blessed by Father Zajac. Maybe I should take my new crossbow up there. What do you think? The thing is the reason I wanted to start out with that story is that, it should put a smile on our face. But it should make us think about what many people think, and how many people, even those that don't know the Lord, do pray. There was an interesting article. I love statistics. I know that's weird, but I do. And it was talking about how in a survey, even people that say they don't believe in God still pray. That seems like a really weird thing, but I guess if we take time to think about it, when you say you don't believe in God, some people, when they say that, they don't believe maybe in a God of religion, maybe you'll say it that way, or the practices that they're familiar with. But I wonder, just truly wonder, how many people that don't know God still, especially in times of crisis, just throw up a prayer, right? I was reminded about the Apostle Paul. And we've been studying in Wednesday night Bible study about the history of the church and how Paul was so instrumental in establishing so many churches in those early days, the first days of Christianity. And how Paul went one time to Athens, Athens, Greece. And it was very interesting what Paul found in Athens. He walked through their city, and the Athenians, had altars to different gods all over the place. As a matter of fact, he even encountered one altar, if you remember reading the story, that said it was to an unknown God. I guess they were trying to cover all their bases, right? And so when Paul was invited into the Areopagus to talk about his faith, he said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." Now, we kind of put tongue in cheek when we read those words, because we kind of know that he didn't really mean it as a compliment, He meant it because he was trying to make a point. He said, "You are very religious. In fact, I did encounter this altar that even said to an unknown God. But I'm here today," he said, "to tell you who that God is. The one that you pray to as unknown, I'm here to tell you about the one true God, about the Creator God of the universe." And Paul wanted them to know. a God that is personal, not made with human hands, right? Not a statue or an idol, but the Creator God. And I really believe that people that don't yet know the one true God, even though they might pray, are still missing so very much, as we know, as we've been talking about relationship with God. The truth of the matter is, prayer is more than just asking God for things when we're in crisis. That was a good place for an amen. Yeah. Prayer is actually the lifeblood of our relationship with God. It is the oxygen for our spiritual soul. But you know what's amazing? As powerful and as important as prayer is, there's probably nothing that is more neglected than the simple practice of prayer. Yeah. I mean, what role does prayer play in your life? You know, how you pray and what you pray reveals a lot about your soul condition. Our perspective of prayer, our practice of prayer, speak volumes even about how we view God. You know, when I was growing up, I can tell you that I believed in God, but my view of God was such that I really didn't want to be that close to Him. I had a distorted picture of God in my soul. And so I didn't want to be that close to God. I believed that there was a God. But that, because of this distorted picture, I didn't feel close to Him. I was missing so much. Amen? It wasn't until I actually heard people praying in a prayer meeting here in Bedford some 35 years ago that I realized what I was missing. I knew as those people prayed passionately to a God they knew intimately that I was missing so much. And I wanted what they had and was bold enough at that point to really ask for it. And then to understand how my prayer life opened up, you know, and how my relationship with God as a result grew so dramatically. Yeah. You know, I think that all of us could probably say, at least most of us perhaps, that there is room for improvement in our prayer lives. Amen? Even the disciples recognized that. And they asked, you remember they asked Jesus, teach us to pray, right? Teach us to pray. I picture in my mind's eye and from my study of scriptures that the reason that compelled them to ask Jesus to teach them to pray is that they saw Him praying. They heard Him praying. And they saw the results of that prayer. And I guess so. I mean, can you just picture that, being with Jesus and hearing Him pray and then watching the results? How many would want to say, hey, show me that. Teach me that. Help me to have that kind of relationship with God. Help me to feel that close to God. You know, there have been great people throughout the years when we look at Christians that have made such a difference in this world that have done so because they understood the power of prayer. John Wesley, Martin Luther. I mean, these people literally wrote about how important it was for them to pray hours a day. But you can't count the value of prayer merely by the time spent. If you measure prayer by a stopwatch, you miss the main point, which is intimacy with God. That's why there is such a stress on the danger of neglecting prayer. It's not a duty. It should be a matter of desire. Amen? And it should be an issue of intimacy with God. Now, here's one question for you Bible scholars. Where in the whole Bible is the very first mention that you can think of prayer? Just scan your memory and your reading of the Bible and think to yourself. I'll give you a hint, Old Testament. How's that? We'll start with that. I'll even give you another hint, the book of Genesis. It's there that you find the first mention of prayer, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. Here's what it says, Genesis 4 and 26. And to Seth, to him, also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then, now listen to this, these words, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Think with me about the difference it would have made between when Adam and Eve were there in the garden before sin, before sin separated them from God, before it pushed them out of the garden, forced them out of the garden. You know, did they need prayer? Loaded question now. Be careful before you ask. Answer. The answer is no. Because they had the physical presence of God with them. Yeah. Genesis chapter 4, men began to call upon the name of the Lord to seek the return of the intimacy that Adam and Eve first felt whenever they walked and talked with the Lord in the cool of the garden. Huh? And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. Right? So with the physical presence of God now absent, men, women, people seeking that connection that was lost began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, here's the truth. God separated himself not only because sin does separate us automatically, but because now with choice being made and free will being established and operative in our lives, God desired relationship that was chosen, not forced. You've heard me talk about that so many times that I won't dwell much more than just a few more seconds on it. But understand this, that prayer is something that is established by God that involves our choice, our free will, in deciding to seek the Lord, in deciding to call upon Him, in wanting, if you will, that communion with God that only prayer can bring now. It is an exercise of our freedom, God-given freedom, that God has chosen to respond to. Indeed, we're going to see today, this morning, that God, who can do anything, has established that some things will not be done until prayer releases them from heaven. Another good place for an amen. That's the importance, the significance of prayer. God has given us this powerful tool, this powerful relation-building, life-changing, world-changing tool. God is a personal being. We talked again at Bible study about how hard it is to understand the Trinity, you know, in our human minds, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons it's so hard is it's because God is not human. He is a being, but He is a being so much bigger than human beings, right? But make no mistake about it, He is a personal God. It's critical to prayer to understand that God is a personal being because it means that He is a being we can interact with, that He has a will, and that we are able to relate to Him on a meaningful level. If He were impersonal, then prayer would be meaningless. Right? But if He were personal as He is, and He would also be loving, which He is, all loving, then in relation to prayer, it means that we're praying to a God who always desires the best for us because He loves us. It's a great place to start. That God always desires our best, always, because he loves us more than we could ever understand. We also know that God is powerful. The scriptures speak of his omnipotence, right? Which means all power. It means that nothing is beyond his power. And in regard to prayer, it means nothing is impossible for God to do. No, nothing, no prayer request is beyond God's ability to answer if it is according to his will. When Jesus came upon the earth and he responded to the disciples' request to teach them to pray, he started out with two words that would have shocked the Jewish world at that time. Our Father. You know, the Jews, even to this day, rarely speak the name of God. And when they write it, you know, if you've ever seen it, they actually write G blank D if it's in English. The word Yahweh in the Old Testament was, because there's no vowels in the Hebrew language, you know, YHWH. The Jews had such an honoring of the name of God. They considered it so high and so holy that you weren't allowed to speak the name of God. And this is where the whole concept of blasphemy came about, that if you would ever use the name of God in vain. And that has nothing to do with what we think it does today. You know, swearing, we call it. You know, I remember when I was a kid, don't swear, it's against one of the Ten Commandments. Well, it's not a good thing to use foul words. But that has nothing to do with what it means of taking the Lord's name in vain, does it? No, it doesn't. The Jews would have been appalled at Jesus saying, pray this way, our Father. Can you imagine what they felt like when he would say, Abba, which you probably know means daddy? Oh, what relationship that he was speaking about. But he wanted to teach us that relationship in order to change the way we pray. Because prayer ultimately comes out of relationship and then deepens relationship with God. Amen? And while Jesus clearly said that we can ask God for things in prayer, as we said, prayer is so much more than just asking God for things. Prayer is interacting with God, communing with him, touching him, and opening the pipeline for him to touch you, lead you, guide you, and enable you to participate in his will, in his working upon the earth today. Yeah. You know, there's wonderful passages of scripture like the one that Jesus says, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you pray. But Jesus didn't say those words so that we would think to ourselves, well, if he knows what I need, then what's the use of praying? Indeed, it was just the opposite. It was to give us confidence to ask, confidence that he already knows, confidence that if we get the words wrong, he still knows what we mean. You know, people get so intimidated with praying, you know, especially praying out loud. Why? Because you kind of get self-conscious. What if I do it wrong? Or, you know, what's the right way? When we're missing the boat, when we think like that, aren't we? Prayer is talking to God. And yes, he sees your heart when you pray, which is the most important part of prayer. Your heart in it. That's why Jesus condemned repetitious prayer that has no meaning. It's not connecting at the heart level. You're just saying words. He said, don't pray like that. The pagans pray like that. No, indeed. Jesus taught us to pray to a Father who already knows, but still desires us to pray. Why? Why? What's the importance of prayer then? Again, this is what I want us to see today. that God has chosen to respond to prayer, chosen to wait, and sometimes wait for some things, wait to do some things until his people pray. God established the rules by which he interacts with people, right? He's chosen to limit his involvement in human nature in sometimes, in some ways, so that we will pray. Kim and I just came back from our mission board meeting. And I got to tell you, and some of you know, like Paul, it always jazzes me up. Because you get around people that that just pray so very much. And as a result, see God's hand move so very much. The Southeast Asia Prayer Center has as the heart of its mission, that's the organization in which we're part of, prayer, because they believe that everything is accomplished in the kingdom of God through prayer. Everything starts there. And then to be around those men and women of God in the same room with them for 2 days and to worship with them and to pray with them. Oh, I'm telling you what, man, you walk out of there just feeling like you're floating, like you've been elevated somehow. Do you understand what I mean? It's just so powerful. And then you hear the testimonies of how prayer has changed so many lives throughout the world. Oh, just hearing the reports from all around the world as different people in different aspects of the ministry of the Southeast Asia Prayer Center just reported out at this annual board meeting. Astounding. Astounding. And what do they attribute it to? Prayer. Nothing seems too great, too hard, too difficult for God to do through prayer. Prayer has obtained things that seemed impossible to others. And when you come to know that, what a boldness you have in the kingdom of God. You know, prayer changes things, right? Hey, prayer changes us. I have another scripture I want you to look at with me this morning. It's a New Testament scripture this time, and it's in a little book that is not often well read. It's the book of Jude. Hey, Jude. Yeah, verses 20 and 21. Let me read it with you. It says this. It says, "But you, beloved," that's you, beloved, "building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." Now, I'd mentioned to you that prayer is the breath of Christian life, but yet nothing, at least almost nothing, seems to be neglected more. Nothing is more vital than prayer in Christian existence, and yet few things are more vulnerable to neglect. Paul said, "Build yourself up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit to keep yourself in the love of God." Last week, we talked about how the love of God is the only good foundation, right foundation for the relationship of God to be built. We talked about how tradition is the house of cards that if you build upon, it falls apart. We talked about how legalism is the false foundation, just equivalent to the one who built on a house on sand as the foundation. But yet the love of God is the only true foundation. So how do you keep that foundation strong? This scripture says this is how. You build yourself up in the most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. If God runs the world, which he does, right? Governs, superintends, then Why, then, is prayer the lifeblood, the breath? If we study the scriptures to understand this concept of praying in the Holy Spirit, we understand that tongues is only one of the pieces that's talked about here, and that truly praying in the Holy Spirit is about getting in tune with God's Spirit, that you're praying the will of God. Because listen, now listen very carefully, the only prayer that is sure to be answered, is the prayer that is prayed in accordance with God's will. Amen? Prayer is not, you know, some rubbing of the lamp, the genie popping out and granting you any wish that you desire. Prayer is the ability for you to line up with the will of God in your life, that what you begin to speak, because it's the will of God, comes to pass. That's praying in the Holy Spirit. It's getting in tune with God's Spirit. Now, you know and I know we've prayed for lots of things in our life that have never come to be. Smile, and I won't think you're lying. Right? And if we're not careful, we could allow that misunderstanding to discourage us from praying ourselves, not realizing that just like me when I was 9 years old and I prayed for Christmas that God was bringing me my motorcycle, you know, that my parents were wise enough at the time to know that I'd have killed myself. Almost did a couple years later when I did get my motorcycle. But I digress. God, better than a human parent, understands what is best in our lives. And His will for us is for us to grow in our faith, to grow stronger in our faith, to grow closer to Him, to know Him more, to become more like Jesus, to be an instrument upon this earth of His glory and His goodness, and a demonstration of His power that first works in us and then can work through us. And praying in the Holy Spirit is when we, being filled with God's Spirit, begin to hear from God. Now, when I say hear from God, I don't mean the audible voice in our ears. I mean the leading, the urging, the impressions that God's Spirit can bring to an open person, a person willing, a person wanting, desiring to get closer to God. Praying in the Holy Spirit is just that. Saying, you know what, Holy Spirit, I know that in God's Word, like Romans chapter 8, He says, when I don't even know how to pray, You will pray for me. Urging, right? Groaning, helping me. So Lord, let my prayers be prayers that are according to Your will in my life. That as I pray them, I know I'm releasing Your hand, Your power. You're working in my life and in the life of those I pray for. Now, do you know there are things that you can know without a shadow of a doubt that are God's will? You know that? For example, Danny says, it is God's will that all people be saved. Doesn't it say that in your Bible? So guess what? When you are praying for loved ones or friends to come to know the Lord, man, oh man, if you could see in the spiritual realms how God releases the working, the outworking of those prayers. Now ultimately, it's still going to be up to a human to respond, right? Yeah, but God is relentless. Don't you like that about Him? So I'm praying in this SEAPC board meeting, worshiping deep in the Spirit, and I begin just to bawl. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. But in this case, I began to bawl because of something I heard, not in my ears, but in my spirit. And the words I heard were a phrase, Chet. The phrase was, I would come back for you. And immediately the picture got drawn in my head of the lamb that wandered away from the 99, was separated from the other sheep, and how the shepherd left the 99 and came back for the one. In that instant, and we're talking about seconds when this all transpired, right, in my life at that moment, you know, in those seconds, I felt such a deep, intimate, personal connection with God. Hard to put in words, isn't it? When you know the God of the whole universe has just spoken into your life in response to your seeking, to give you a word that can change you just like that. A personal, powerful word. Because you see, prayer needs to be a two-way street, a dialogue, not a monologue, a seeking and a receiving. Ask and it will be given unto you, the scriptures say. God desires to interact with us in prayer. I was reminded this morning as we were driving here and we were talking about this message, and Kim said, well, you know, there was a time when you journaled every day. Prayer journaled, that is. You know what I mean? And it was one of my best times of intimate prayer with God, when I would get up early in the morning and I would come to Him in prayer and I would talk and then I would listen and then I would write that which I heard. Now, when I say heard again, it's really think, right? What I was thinking. So there were times in my prayer journal, you'd see a note that said, don't forget to get milk today. Why? It's because I'm sitting there, you know, after I've talked to God, listening, and my mind's still active, right? And so the thought that comes in my mind is, don't forget to get milk. So I'd write it down. You know why? Not because it was from God. I get it out of the way. And then I'm good to go. Okay, Gloria, I got that out of the way. I'm back. Speak to me. And I want to tell you something. Those times were so precious. I keep the notebooks. I keep the stack of prayer journals. And I'm telling you, you want to have something that's wonderful experience. I go back and I look. And just over time, you see how God answers those prayers. And how far you've come in your relationship with Him through the intimate connection of prayer. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Prayer as a means to build yourself up in the faith and keep yourself in the love of God. Prayer is communing with God, and it brings communion with God. C.S. Lewis wrote, I don't pray to change God. I pray because I have to. I pray because I can't help myself. It doesn't change God, it changes me. And you know what? How do we say it? God loves us just the way we are, but loves us too much to let us stay that way. In other words, a God who is our loving Heavenly Father knows how good it can be when you grow closer to Him, says, I'm giving you prayer as a tool. Please use it and watch how I change you to grow closer to me, to know me better. To have that intimacy, that personal relationship that deepens and deepens and deepens. Watch me respond to prayers that are prayed according to my will. And allow those answers to prayers build you up in the faith to know I am God and there is no other. To know I am with you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. To know there is nothing impossible with me, and to know that I love you. Prayer changes things. The scripture says, he who has a wife has a good thing. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes me, Dan. And prayer helps me to become the husband God wants me to be. The father, the grandfather, the pastor that he wants me to be. This morning, as we close, let's do this one thing. One thing. Let's recognize prayer as the powerful, powerful gift that it is. And come to our senses and not neglect such a powerful thing. But not out of duty. Let God create in you a desire to spend more time with Him in prayer. Or allow your time to be so much more quality time. Not repetition, but connection, Joe. Connecting with the God of the universe, who has reserved the moving of His hand in and through your life in some ways until you will be willing to pray. To demonstrate, I want you, Lord. I need you, Lord. So as we stand together this morning, let's pray.